This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Brother Brant Kiskerno and is entitled, The Godly Family.
There's notes in the bulletin today. There's no select passage of Scripture, but we're going to be kind of floating around Proverbs and the book of Ephesians and Colossians. And I wanted to talk about God's design of the family. We see that at our church, we have a wonderful opportunity to see the truths of God being passed on from generation to generation, the way that God has intended it to. The design of God's family, we talked about this today a little bit in Sunday school, started in the Garden of Eden when God made Adam and Eve and then commanded them to be fruitful and multiply. And we have the start of families. And we get on to the family of Abraham, and in Genesis 18:19, we read, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him." That he will command his children and his household after him. The start of the family, the purpose of the family, for the parents to lead their children in the way of the Lord, to pass these truths that we learn every Sunday, that we should be reading and meditating upon every day from generation to generation. If you could turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, starting in verse 4, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, and forget not the works of God, but keep his commandments." Again, we have the purpose in the family for generation to generation to tell them the praises of the Lord, that they may put their confidence in God. God created man and woman to have a family, for that family to have children, to pass their truths of God, the truths of God to those children, so they can pass them on to their children, to their children, and to their children. But we've also had dysfunction in the family since the beginning of time, starting with Adam and Eve, Abel and Cain. And some may say that this is even more prevalent today. Dysfunction in the families could be even more prevalent today. We have families who don't teach their children the way of the Lord. Families who are not bold for Jesus. Children who walk in disobedience. Sometimes we don't even have families. We have people who are not married and they try to raise children outside of marriage. We have divorces at a monstrous rate. Even people say within Christian families, divorces can be at 50%. We have marriages outside man and woman. And then we even have Christian families who are not following the way of the Lord. Parents who are not doing what God intended the family to do. Fathers who are not being the head of the household. Women who are not doing their job as commanded in Scripture. And we have strayed from the design of God's family. So what do we do? How do we get on the track of following the design that God has intended for the family? The list could go on and on. We know that there is certainly no perfect family, but there are certainly godly families and ungodly families. Families who desire to follow the Lord and families who don't. Families who proclaim and live for the truth of Jesus and pass it on to their children and to their children and to their children, and families who don't. God so intended the family to honor and glorify him, where intimacy is allowed between a man and a woman, where the truths of God can be passed on, where children are taught and disciplined. I don't pretend to be an expert in any of this, but I study the Word of God, and I believe that even this hour, God is preparing me for the day when I will be a father, when I will be a husband. And it's my desire that I will take what I've learned from my parents, from the Word of God, and apply it to my life so I can be a godly father, a godly husband, a man who is bold for Jesus, who has a wife who is bold for Jesus, children who will be bold for Jesus. So today I wanted to share with you a few things that we find in the Word of God that will admonish us and exhort us and mold us into godly families. Mold us into godly families. Families that, though not perfect, yet like Abraham, teach their children the way of the Lord. We as youth leaders genuinely love the kids here and we want them to know Jesus, but we know that we only have a certain amount of influence on these children. They're here for 2 hours a week. You parents are in church for a few hours a week. There's 168 hours in a week. Outside of work and sleeping, what are we doing to raise godly families? How are we preparing our children to raise godly families for when they're parents? What is being taught in the household? And I'm going to start with the parents. So I have some points for the parents that I would like to say, and then I'm going to have some points for the children. And I believe no matter where we are at our stage in life, these points will encourage us. And they will admonish us to follow the Lord and to desire godly families. If we look at the younger children, they're the future of the Amwell congregation here. If we're not doing the job as church leaders, as parents, to be bold in proclaiming the truth of God, then what hope do we have for the Amwell Church on this block, in this community? So let's start with the parents. And I have 10 points for the parents. You guys can just follow along and write them down. And the first point is not too of a difficult one. It's teach your kids about God. Teach your kids about God. Now I'm going to explain this. I want you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Starting in verse 25. Exodus 12, 25. And we're going to read to verse 27. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshipped. So what I mean when I say teach your kids about God is teach them the character of God. Teach them about God's holiness, about God's righteousness, about God's wrath, how he's all-knowing, how he is all-present, all-powerful, that he's merciful, forgiving. When they instituted the service of the Passover, the point was to glorify and honor God. And what would happen was every year when they would do this service, this ordinance, the children would say, why do we do this? What is the meaning of this? And the parents were to tell them what happened. We spread blood over the door. And we trusted God's promise that if we put blood on the doorpost, death would pass by and the firstborn would be delivered. If not, they would die. That's God's character in that setting of Israel being held captive in Egypt and God promising to deliver them from bondage and from the Egyptians. That's God's character. That's God's wrath being poured out for sin and his grace in delivering Israel. We need to be sharing these truths with the kids. Parents, you need to share these truths with your kids so they know the character of God. When they're in church and they say, why do we take communion? Why are we taking this bread and this cup and drinking it? Share them about God's grace and forgiveness on the cross. Tell them the truths of Jesus Christ. The second point is teach them the Word of God. Teach them the Word of God. Deuteronomy 6:7. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." It's interesting. It seems that he's saying, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, teach your children the Word of God. Teach your children the Word of God. When you're driving them to school, when you're taking them to practice, when you're at home, when you're at the dinner table, teach them the truths of God. So important. It seems like people have strayed from these commands of God, from God's plan for the family. And we see it affecting the generations. We see it affecting the kids. God gives parents the blessing of children to teach them the truths of God. Be diligent that when thou liest down, when thou sittest at the table, to teach your children the truths of God. The third point is teach them to meditate upon the Word of God. We read in Psalm 1 that blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. After teaching your kids the Word of God, teach them to meditate upon it, to be discerning, to pull out the truths in Scripture and then apply them to their hearts, to their lives. Teach them to meditate upon the Word of God. The fourth point is discipline your children. We were talking about this for the past couple weeks in Sunday school, and it's been interesting conversations. But we're going to be looking in the Proverbs. So this is one of the books that we've been going through in Sunday school. We read in Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." We turn over to Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. This is a pretty powerful verse here. "Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell." It's a crazy world when a parent gets in trouble for spanking their child because their child needed to be disciplined. Now, we're not going to go into all the ins and outs of discipline today. These are things that you guys can look up for yourselves. But there is a correct way to discipline your children and an incorrect way to discipline your children. And we find it in the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, we read, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children in wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." There is a systematic way of disciplining your kids, and it's with the Word of God. It uses the truths of God to discipline your children. It's clear that as we read in the Word of God, there's a point where fathers, where parents can provoke their children to anger, and they rule with an iron fist. Part of teaching your kids the character of God, as we talked about our first point, is teaching them the mercy and grace of God, which you need to show them. Understand, as we read in Proverbs, that foolishness is bound. It doesn't say foolishness is in. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Children will make mistakes. They will disobey you. They will do wrong things. You need to learn to discipline them in the truth of God and use the rod of correction to drive foolishness far from the child. We are conceived in sin. From the time, even now, in a sense, our understanding is darkened. But when you're a child, what do you know? You know nothing. So God designed the family to have parents to teach them the way. "Train up a child in the way he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." Know that your children will fail, and when they do, discipline them in love and truth. Point 5, intercede for your children. There's a wonderful description of this in the first chapter of Job, when we read that Job went to offer sacrifices for his children in case they sinned against the Lord. Now, while we don't offer sacrifices in the sense that Job did, we can intercede like he did for his children by prayer. Pray for your kids. Pray for yourselves that you would be godly parents and that you would train your kids up in godliness. Pray that your kids would come to know Jesus Christ. Pray that they would love Jesus Christ, that they would have a desire to get involved in the church. Intercede for your children. Point six, teach your children to worship. Teach your children to pray in public at the dinner table. Teach your children to pray for their meal when they're at school. Teach them to pray when you're at home when nobody's looking, because God is looking and God has blessed us more than we can know. Teach your children to sing in church. Something I don't understand is how some people don't like to sing and worship in church. If God has regenerated our hearts and we are said to be made alive, our worship of God should be alive. When the Browders were here, one of the guys' names, but he mentioned to me that his idea that the church should be the loudest building on Sunday morning. Whether that's correct or incorrect, his point was that worship should be lively. People should know that people are worshiping the God who lives. Parents, if kids do not see you singing, they're not going to sing. Teach your children to worship God and worship Him with fear and reverence. Teach them what it means to bow down before God and submit to His authority. Point seven, husbands, love your wives, and wives, love your husbands. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. Right there. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. Wives, submit to your husbands. Show affection in front of your children. Show your kids what it means to love one another. Show your children what it means to sacrifice yourself in your time, your hours, your needs for your wife and for your husband. Show them what it means to have a healthy, loving relationship so they will love their wives and so they will love their husbands. Point nine, this is for the men. Study the men of God. Study the men of Abraham and Job. Know the word of God and lead your family. You are the head of the household. Sometimes I hear a lot of talk, what people say is prevalent, is that men are soft in the church and they're not doing their job as men. They're not leading their families in the truth of God. We're doing a discipleship program. I have a personal belief that every man should be able to take his family through that book. It's without excuse. They should know the word of God, be disciplined in the word of God, and lead their family in the truths. They should be godly men, not just to their families, but to the church as well. We know what the Bible teaches about those who are widowed, those who are orphans. The men, the church leaders, we care for them. We love them. We show them what it means to be a man of God and to walk in godliness. Point 10 is show, this is the last one, the most important one, in my eyes, show your children the love of Jesus and teach them to love Jesus themselves. I'm reading a book right now by this guy called Thomas Vincent, and it's called The True Christian's Love to the Unseen Christ. A short book, and it uses the verse from 1 Peter 8 when Peter commends them for loving Jesus though they haven't seen Him. We haven't seen Jesus with our eyes, but as Christians, we've seen Him with our faith. We've seen Him with our hearts. Show your children the love of Jesus. Parents, make it known that you love Jesus more than anything in the world. I want you to turn with me to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. And I'll start in verse 25. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me, and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. We know that Jesus is not teaching to literally hate your family, to hate the brothers and sisters. What he is saying is, I'm number one. You love me more than anything in the world. If you can't love me, you can't be my disciple. If you can't follow me, you can't be my disciple. Parents, show your children that you love Jesus more than your wife, more than your husband. And it's when you truly love to learn Jesus first that the love for your children will come. The love for your husband and wife will come. And as it's noted in this, there's a cost to doing these things. Training a godly family, being godly parents, takes time, takes energy, it takes sacrifice. You may have to give up an hour every night of watching TV. You may have to give up whatever it is, whatever you desire to do in your spare time and your free time, may have to be sacrificed. But you're doing it for the things that matter for eternity. You're doing it for your children, for their children, for their children, for their children. Most importantly, you're doing it for the Lord. Train your children in the Word of God. Train them in the way of the Lord, as Abraham has said. Give up your time for your kids, for your wife, for your husband, for your family. This is for your grandchildren, for the people in the church who don't have fathers or mothers. Give up your time for them and show them godliness. Now we're going to go to the children. And there's just one point for the children, sorry. But it's the most important one. Children, honor your mother and father. Obey your mother and father. I say this to myself, and I say this to everyone in the congregation, whether you're 10 years old or 50 years old. If you have a parent, honor them and obey them. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. By the way, if anyone wants further study, there's a similar passage like this in Colossians 3, where many of these things are restated to show the importance of God's truths, the importance of for us to follow these commands. But in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on earth. To be obedient is an action. To honor is an attitude. We show obedience to our parents when they ask us to do something, and we do it with honor in our hearts, truly doing it for the Lord, because He's blessed us with parents who care for us and love us. We read back in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, we read, My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. They shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Listen to what your parents are saying. If your parents are being godly parents, we pray that they're teaching you the things of God, and that the things of the Lord will lead you in truth and in righteousness. We learn of Jesus as he was on the cross, and he looked at his mother and told John, Take care of my mother. Parents who are old and have, who are older and have parents, honor them, love them, and care for them. I think about, we all have our regrets. People say, I regret, I wish I never did this. I can truly say that one of the things I wish I never did was dishonor my mother and father. I've seen how it has affected my relationship with them even today. And I know that I have to work on being obedient and honoring my mother and father. I don't want to get spanked at 25, so. But in seriousness, as I grow in my faith, I learn to hate the person I was before Christ. and to hate the sin that still works its way into my life. And it's the person I was before, the things I did, said, that affect who I am today. We talked about, as we read in the Ecclesiastics, in the sermon a few weeks ago, how seeds are being planted and they're shaping us. Parents, shape your kids now, at the young age, while there is still hope, as it says in the book of Proverbs. When he is old, he will not depart from the children. Plant the seeds now of obedience. Learn from those who have failed and admit that failing and want to see you blossom in your relationship with your mother and your father. Those are the points that we have for today. And as we conclude, I think it's important to say that none of this can be done unless Christ is at the center. Unless the parent knows Jesus, they can't teach your children to know Jesus. Know Jesus. Know that your heart has to be regenerated. Tell your kids about the truth of sin and that they need regenerated hearts. Some parents probably refuse to want to know and admit that their kid is sinful and born in sin and deserves the wrath of God. Teach that truth to your kids so they may believe on the Lord and trust in Him and His blood to save them. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Your Word is sharp and it's quick and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. We all have our faults and we bring them before You. It's our prayer that You would work in the families here at Amwell, that they would see their faults and work on them, that the children, we would see our faults and work on them. We would learn to be godly families, to follow the way of the Lord, that mothers and fathers would be bold for Jesus, that children would honor and obey their mother and father. The fifth commandment that You've given us, the first commandment that applies to personal relationships, is to children and mothers and fathers. Let us take that with seriousness and let us follow the way of the Lord. Prepare our hearts, convict us, send Your Spirit upon us, and may Amwell be a place where godly families are being raised up from generation to generation. As You are faithful to us, may we be faithful to You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org. or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.